You're listening to Dark Plains Radio Network.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy? Oh, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Jeez, Dad. How would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your assignment is to listen to Spooks R Us on Monday nights from 9 to midnight Eastern on DarkPlainsRadio.com. This message will self-destruct. This is a production of the Dark Plains Radio Network.
Well, I'll be hornswoggled.
You're listening to Dark Plains Radio Network.
You don't say.
DarkPlainsRadio.com.
That's the most amazing thing since Grandma survived the outhouse incident.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Dark Plains Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Started back when I turned 18. My mom, my wife, our six kids, and me moved into a nice used double wide. It was blue and white, about 100 feet long, with tires on the roof, flamingos on the lawn, and genuine simulated whip handling on the inside. Now when you move into a trailer park, you hear odd things when it gets dark. Hollering, screaming, cursing, ain't nothing weird. But one night I heard a really strange noise, so I crept down the hall to check on the boys. And what I seen done scared me something fierce. Well, there on the Naugahyde couch he sat, a shadowy figure in a Mack truck hat. It was a ghost, and he was drinking all my beer. He weren't wearing no sheet, just a pair of jeans, an old white beater with greasy stains. I screamed like a girl, and he just disappeared. There's a ghost in the trailer, we got a haunted mobile home. And that redneck apparition will not leave us alone. He got a chain on his wallet, and he's rattling it loud. There's a ghost in the trailer, look out! I tore in the bedroom and slammed the door shut. Pretty soon the sun came up. I told my wife what happened, but she just shook her head. And I'll tell the truth, I'd have had a drink or three, and the stress at my job been getting to me. But just to be safe, I put a gun rack over the bed. Well, a neighbor stopped by later that day, said the previous tenant had passed away. He was killed working on a Camaro out in the front yard. The hood fell and gave his head a smack. He died, but they say he still comes back. And when the moon is full, he tries to start that car. Well, that same night, about 9:45, we was watching Dukes of Hazzard on TNN, and we heard a blood-curdling scream coming from the lawn. We ran out to that trailer lot, and that Camaro was levitating right off the block, so that ghost in the driver's seat yelling, yee-haw! There's a ghost in the trailer, we've got a haunted mobile home, and that redneck apparition will not leave us alone. He got Skinner on the radio and he cranked it up real loud. There's a ghost in the trailer, look out! Well, things got bad and soon got worse. We were stuck with his paranormal curse. He'd wake us up at night yelling, boo, y'all! He moved things around to cause a scare, made a tin of skulls float through the air. We could hear footsteps line dancing down the hall. Well, I called the cops and they just laughed. And a friend at work found the online chat, told us about a site called TrailerGhost.com. There were stories and tips, all kinds of advice. I'm telling you, that website saved our lives. We sent that ghost back into the great beyond. But listen to me, don't make no mistake. If you feel your trailer start to shake, run to the window and take a look outside. And if there's no tornado to be found and you start to hear a strange moaning sound, you might have a ghost up in your double wide. There's a ghost in your trailer. You got a haunted mobile home. And that redneck apparition will not leave you alone. If the walls commence to move and that blood starts dripping out, you got a ghost in your trailer. Look out!
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dark Plains Radio. And it's a tough night. Unfortunately, my partner in crime and co-host, Brian Leffler, he's down with the flu. I assure you, he's swine-free. I hope. But if he is, I'm nowhere going near him. But hey, tonight is a spooky one, though. Not just because of subject matter, but we have Scotty and Wayne from Spooks R Us keeping the seat warm. Hey, guys, come on in.
Hey. I have to play our fanfare for us. Now you're going to hear some spooks music tonight. How you doing, Joe?
Good, guys. Hey, thanks a ton again for coming on and such short notice. If I can talk tonight, it'll be all good. I think, oh, God, I hope I don't start going. If I do, I know I got the swine flu.
We might all have it because we all investigated together this weekend. And unfortunately, I blame Brian Leffler for the flu that I have, too. So so it better not be the swine, I can tell you that.
Better not be.
We'll let you guys just duke it out in the cage match.
There you go. You know, I had that great idea for a couple other people, but it fell through. Damn it.
Well, you know, we still got time.
We still have time. Maybe we could stir something up for them. Maybe that cage match still might happen.
It might.
That's right. Tickets are going to be $10 a head.
There you go.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
That'd be a total slap fight, though. We all know it would be. But hey, guys, how's your week been so far since you guys got back to Wisconsin?
Busy as heck. We had the show Monday night, and then last night I had past your bedtime, so... Been on the air three nights in a row this week, so it's been a busy week, and then working a ton, of course.
Well, how
it's been
you?
Warmer.
Well, yeah, not here it hasn't.
See,
my God, well,
that's right. That's why I said that.
You still live in Canada, that's why. Eh?
Yeah. But guys, you know what? We have just a kick butt show tonight, don't we?
We do, and we have call-ins all night tonight, right?
Absolutely, all night tonight. You have a question?
Call in now promo. Live. We're on the air on Dark Plains Radio, darkplainsradio.com.
That's right.
Well, anyway, the call-in number for tonight is 218-305-4676. That's right. 218-305-4676. And I know you guys have a ton of questions for these guys. These guys, hey, this is Soul Smack. You guys know Soul Smack did, right, guys? Scotty Wayne?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So when you first said their name, I thought it was some kind of thrash metal band.
I did too, but then looking at their website, they're rocking guys. They make one heck of a great movie. It's entitled Your Worst Nightmare, Supernatural Assault. Hey, guys, you guys there?
Hello, yeah, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? After you sat through our banter and all.
Yeah, we're doing fine up here from a swine flu-free neighborhood, so we're all doing cool.
I like your theme music.
Ah, little ghost in the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, it makes some of us feel like we're right back at home, doesn't it, Wayne? I mean, sorry.
Hey, I resemble that comment. I do not currently live in a trailer of any fashion.
Not yet.
I'm trailer free. No, I outgrew them.
We can always aspire.
Yeah, we always can look up at something, right?
I worked very hard to get out of that damn trailer.
I know you did.
And he bought a triple one now, so it's not really a trailer anymore. It's three of them.
Well, you know, you got to live large.
I've never heard of a triple Y.
Have you got a basement with that trailer?
Yeah, exactly.
No, just a hole where we store our moonshine.
just where you put the corpses when they make fun of you, right?
Oh, no, you never put bodies on your own property. You do them on your next-door neighbors.
Well, we learned that lesson the hard way, didn't we?
I stand on my Fifth Amendment right that what I say may incriminate me.
No bodies on the moonshine, either.
Although I should be.
You can make it, you just can't distribute it.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
All right, yeah. It looks like a great movie and an interesting subject, a controversial subject, but it should be a lot of fun tonight.
We'll be very happy to answer any questions you have about supernatural assault.
Well, kick it off, brother. Tell us all about it.
Do you know what sleep paralysis is?
Not entirely, no.
Yeah. Well, it's a rather confusing thing that takes a little bit of explaining, but sleep paralysis is something that a lot of people experience. Basically, when they wake up, particularly if someone has, for example, been missing sleep and is overtired, it can be triggered. Sleep paralysis can be triggered, and this is Andrew here speaking. But sleep paralysis is just the experience of waking up and being unable to move. It's physiological, it's completely understood by science and the medicine world, and it really is a far cry from supernatural assault. But 1 in 5 people experience sleep paralysis fairly often in their lifetimes, and the vast majority of those who experience it have something else happen too, which is the supernatural assault part of the experience. And this is not very well understood and not explained well at all by science. But if you ask anyone who's ever had the experience, have you ever woken up in the night and been unable to move? If they say yes, they will also immediately thereafter say, and I think something attacked me while I was paralyzed. And that's the supernatural assault.
Freaky. I've heard of old hag syndrome. Is it kind of akin to that?
It depends on what part of the world you're from. Every culture in the world has a name for this, except for ours. 300 years ago, we would have called it something akin to the old hag ourselves, but in the last couple of hundred years, we've lost the words to speak about it for religious and scientific reasons. These words were completely erased from our vocabulary, but we still have it just as often as we used to, but we're a little afraid to talk about it because in Western society it's a little problematic to come up to your friend or your spouse or your minister and say, I think some spirit's attacking me in the night. People think you're crazy.
So how common is this phenomenon among the masses?
I'll let Paul deal with that.
Yeah, well, across the world, globally, the statistics show that 1 in 5 people at one time, as Andrew said, in their life will experience sleep paralysis. I myself have experienced it on a number of occasions during my life, and the first time it happened to me, I was terrified, and I'll briefly touch on what happened just in case anyone out there is listening can relate to it and understand what may have happened to them, because at the time it happened to me, there wasn't much literature on sleep paralysis, and I definitely didn't hear it being spoken about on radio. So what happened to me was I woke up one morning and I was napping, you know, in and out of sleep, and then one of the times I woke up, I opened my eyes and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. And it almost felt like, you know that feeling you get when you sleep on an arm and you wake up and your arm's dead? It's that type of a feeling, but across your whole body, you suddenly feel this tremendous weight about you. So I opened my eyes. I couldn't move. And then I felt this tremendous pressure bearing down on my back. It felt as if something had come into my room and paralyzed me, you know, rendered me paralyzed. At the time, I didn't know what could have caused that. And then it was laying on top of me, crushing me into the bed. And it felt as if the bed I was being pushed into the bed, and my face, I sleep face down, and my face was being pressed harder and harder into the bed. And at the same time as this feeling, I could hear whispers, many voices, multiple voices behind my head whispering. I was terrified. I didn't know what this was. So eventually it did alleviate after, it felt like forever, but I reckon it was no more than 15 seconds. It alleviated, and I got up with my eyes still open in the same state, and I was sort of in a panic, a blind panic, and I didn't know what to do. I was running around the room, trying to see if there was an intruder or something like that. So 5 years passed, and you can imagine, I held this inside me for 5 years. I didn't know what it was, and then I saw it on a television documentary, and I saw the explanation of what sleep paralysis was and this supernatural or this paranormal presence, and I realized that that's what had happened to me 5 years earlier. And it took me 5 years to just by chance catch a documentary that was on TV. So, there are probably millions of people out there right now who have no clue to what sleep paralysis is, and they've probably had it. And it's not until hearing us and hearing this show now they're going to realize, hey, I experienced that exact same phenomena.
Looking at the numbers, like you just said, a lot of people have had it. And I looked at the numbers, and I also read on a website that 1 in 5 people experience this. I mean, it's way more common than anyone gives it credit for.
It's more common than swine flu, it's pretty amazing. And I don't see the NSA shutting this country down because of sleep paralysis, but it's quite common. And it's not until you start speaking to people. I mean, if you've had it, definitely talk to people about it. And I guarantee you ask it, a handful of people, handful of friends, one of them would also have had it. And then you can both talk about it. You don't feel the isolation factor. You don't feel like you're the only one to have experienced this, and you're not crazy. It does happen.
Yeah, let's do it in the chat room. Let's go in there, and right now let's do a poll while we're talking about this tonight. And let's go in the chat room right now. Has anyone ever encountered anything like this? If you have, please say I or something in the chat room, and I'll take a tally, and I'll get back to it in a few minutes so we know how many people in the chat room. We have about 20, 25 people in the chat room right now. So we'll find out of that group how many people have encountered something like this. So,
and absolutely, feel free to give us your story. Call in. The call-in number is 218-305-4676. Again, I'll give that number one more time. It's 218-305-4676. Call in, tell us your story of sleep paralysis.
I've never had it happen to me. I'd be willing to give it a shot, just, in the pursuit of science. I thought I did one time, but I found out I was tied up from a date, but it took me a while to realize it.
Was it an old hag or anything like that?
She got out here and said,
hey, Wayne. Well, thankfully, she was gone before I sobered up, so I don't know.
All right, that must have been the succubus then.
I think I ended up marrying her my first marriage.
Oh, or it could have been the incubus. You never know
these days.
But no, in the interest of science, I would definitely be willing to experience this.
Well, there are ways to induce it, but I'm not going to tell it over. I'm not going to explain how to do it over the airways. There are ways. We can do this after the show. I'll tell you, if you want to experience it, what you need to do.
Have a big guy come beat you up, right?
We have
really big.
We did have one person, well, at least in the research that Dr. David Hufford did on sleep paralysis, there was one person who tried to induce it. Basically, he was fed up with these sort of apparent attacks in the evening, in at nighttime. This thing would come into the room, and I'm very interested in what your listeners would have to say, because every time we fill in a little bit about what happens when you have a supernatural assault, there's someone out there saying, oh my gosh, they know what happened to me. But this one guy thought he was tough. He was a motocross rider. He's a real fit, really aggressive guy. And about the third time this happened to him, he said, all right, what happens is you right in the middle of it, it gets so intense and so scary that everyone who has it finally says, no, stop, and very frequently they pray. Interestingly enough, when you pray, the experience usually stops, which is a whole topic in itself. I'm glad to talk about that. But this guy said, okay, next time it happens to me, I'm going to tell it to bring it on. And so this, he actually saw the creature come into his room. And when it happened to him the fourth or fifth time, he said, bring it on. Bring it on. Show me what you got. I bet you can't take me. And he was thrown around in the night in his room, out of his bed. And in case anyone was wondering if this was just some sort of hallucination or dream, when he got downstairs in the morning, all not looking too good, all messed up and pretty sore, his roommate said, what, and the guy who lived downstairs said, what were you doing last night? Rearranging your furniture? And it's very, very uncommon, but every once in a while, someone else in the neighborhood actually is aware of what's happening to someone else in these supernatural assaults. So I don't recommend it on anyone. No one says that it's not scary. Very scary.
Does it happen more to single individuals than married individuals?
There appears to be no distinction between single and married people.
Yeah, because you'd think that your partner would wake up and say, well, what the hell is going on? And maybe even stop at that point.
Well, it's such a fascinating thing. You're paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of this one documented experience where, you know, the guy was literally tossed from his bed, Paul had a similar experience, but you're paralyzed and you can't scream out, you can't cry out. So you're awake, you can look around you. You might be sleeping next to your partner, your girlfriend, or your spouse, and you try to call to them, but you can't. And they usually sleep right through it. And didn't you hear? Didn't you see what was going on? Didn't you hear what was happening to me? No, I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
We have one person in the chat room so far that said they happen multiple times in a week. Is that commonplace to have happen multiple times?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you have to be careful of, if you do have sleep paralysis and it does frighten you, if you haven't found the resource for information to try and, you know, work out what happened to you, it can be frightening. So people tend to dwell on this fear of, you know, is this going to happen again? I can't cope with this if it does. And it tends to cause a spiral effect where the worry and the anxiety that they hold over the fear of having sleep paralysis grows. So when, you know, they go to sleep every night, that's all they can think about. Eventually, it happens again. And then it can become more and more frequent for them. So, yeah, I mean, happening multiple times, once you've had it once, it can happen. And we hope, we really hope to become a resource for people on the web, our website, soulsmack.com. And there are a lot of people on there now using the forums, sharing their experiences, and it's surprising the amount of people on there that have said they are so glad they found this resource. It's helped them tremendously. So, you know, we suggest if anyone does have sleep paralysis, find a resource. You know, our website's, it's only been up 6 months, and it's doing pretty good for helping people to understand more about this phenomena and ways to cope with it.
Most of the people who've had sleep paralysis, even one time for a brief moment, remember it for their entire lives. And some people who've actually seen or heard something come into their room are afraid to go to sleep at night. Their lives change drastically. In fact, several, almost all of the people we interviewed in our documentary film, even though it's been years since they've had the experience, when they go to sleep at night, they're uneasy and they don't want to ever have the experience again. But in terms of what having it happen many times in a row, there may be an association with post-traumatic stress disorder. At least if you have PTSD, you appear to be more likely to also experience supernatural assault. And it is relatively less common to have it happen many times in a week. But we've talked to any number of people who've had it 3, 4, or 5 times in a week. And one of the one of the saving graces of the whole experience is it's not very common after the age of 25 years old. So you may be in your teens right now. It's probably not going to happen 3 or 4 times a week for a long time. But it probably won't ever happen again after the age of 25, and we don't know why. And a little note to that, though, there is a population that has had it for 20, 30 years. You're all familiar with the Cambodian genocide under Pol Pot in 1975 to 1979. For 4 years, the entire society was traumatized on a daily basis. Most of them saw members of their family brutally murdered around them and lived in fear of having it happen to them for a 4-year period while they were mostly starving. Most of that population, 95% of the Cambodian population, experienced sleep paralysis on a monthly to weekly basis, and they also have very high levels of PTSD. But that is completely uncommon. That's not going to happen to to the average person. It's just not the normal experience.
So you're saying, as a kid, it would be more common early on, and then as you get older, it goes away.
Appears to go away, yep. And it can happen, it can start happening to you at a very early age, 7. It can happen at 7, it can happen in your teens. It happened to my brother when he was in his teens. And he was at the room across the hall, and he tried to call out. In fact, he came up to me and said, "Didn't you hear me trying to call your name?" And one of the times it happened to him, I know I was awake. It was in the morning, and he'd sort of gotten caught between dozing and being awake, and experienced this sleep paralysis and had this tremendous fear that something was in the room with him. And, you know, he insists that he made noises, sort of guttural noises, trying to get my attention. I never heard a thing. In fact, it scared me so much I didn't ever want to have it happen to me.
Is it kind of like when you're sleeping? I know this has happened to everybody. You'll be sleeping and you'll dream like you trip on something. Your whole body will shake. Has that happened to you guys as well? I'm sure it's happened to you, Wayne and Scotty, right? Where you just...
Oh, yeah, it used to happen to me all the time.
It'll translate to your body, but it's the opposite, obviously, of this. Only it's internally rather than externally.
A little bit like a falling sensation, too, maybe?
Yeah, to where you know, it's hard to describe, but everybody know pretty much has done it at one point or another where your whole body will shake. Like, yeah. You've just fallen.
It's kind of like, I mean, I've had it myself 3 times, like I said. It's a strange, you can't even describe it. I mean, even me who's had it, it's hard to describe, you know, how it feels, apart from the way I said. It's almost like you sleep on your arm and you wake up and your arm's dead. You feel that across your whole body. And it is startling when you open your eyes and you're in that state of being, you know. You can't figure it out. And not to be able to move, I mean, that is frightening. But, It's kind of unreal as well when it happens to you. You open your eyes and it's an unreal sensation. It's not one that we feel every day, so it's totally alien to the whole, you know, human sensory system. I mean, it's not a common feeling, so I don't think you'd know what to make of it when you wake up in that state.
One of the things that we discovered when we went down to the city of Portland, Maine, and interviewed people on the street, we were trying to find out if it was as common as the research says, and it was. Eight out of 30 people, I think, had it. But one of the things we found out was that several people would say, "No, I've never had that happen," and then they would listen to someone else explain their experience of it, and during the story, they'd say, "You know what, I have had that, but I didn't have, I don't think I was attacked, but yes, I did have the paralysis." And I think for those people who've never had the supernatural assault or the sense of intruder in their room, if they've ever had that falling sensation while they're sort of half in, half out of sleep, it appears that that's sort of the beginning of sleep paralysis, but it never becomes a full experience of it.
Okay. All right, guys, it's that wonderful time again. Everybody needs to go grab a beer. Yeah, the Spooks R Us guys are on Dark Plains Radio tonight, huh, Joe?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely spooky.
It's spooky tonight, so let's go to break, grab a beer, grab something, grab a friend. We'll be back right after these messages on a Dark Plains Radio show. Yes, you heard it right, the Dark Plains Radio show, right here on DarkPlainsRadio.com.
Listen to Spooks R Us from 9 to midnight Eastern
on DarkPlainsRadio.com.
Welcome to Mountain View Candleworks, your premier online retailer of specialty candles, fountains, soaps, oils, lotions, and much, much more. If you are interested in a special gift for someone or just to pamper yourself, then please visit us at MountainViewCandleworks.com. We make our candles with mountain care.
My first week home was great. We had a party.
2 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me.
My niece was waiting for me at the airport with a sign.
There was a huge sign across my front house, and it said, "Welcome home, Megan."
They lifted me up on their shoulders. And
first week back, people just said thank you.
Now, what about the second week? A new generation of veterans is coming home. Make a difference for them at WelcomeBackVeterans.org.
Brought to you by WelcomeBackVeterans.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and the Ad Council.
It's coming. Don't miss it. The Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, and 26th, on Minnesota's historic Iron Range. You'll get to meet and investigate with some of the top paranormal investigators in the field today. The original legend tripper himself, Chad Lewis. And from the hit movies Children of the Grave and Spooked, Keith Age. And from the hit show Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, Brian Harnois. Just to name a few of the great celebrities you will meet and investigate with. And you will also investigate one of the most active places in the world, the birthplace of the modern NHL, the old recreation building in Hockeytown, USA, Eveleth, Minnesota, home of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, plus speaker events at the historic Coates Plaza in Virginia, Minnesota, and meet the official voice of the convention from Spooks R Us, Scotty and Wayne. And don't miss the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, 26th. Tickets are extremely limited, so go to www.darkplainsradio.com to order your tickets today. Again, the address to go to is www.darkplainsradio.com to get your tickets today.
You're listening to the Dark Plains Radio Network on darkplainsradio.com, providing you with a fun, new, exciting talk radio experience. Bringing you the very best in talk radio. You'll hear news, sports, politics, the greatest programming in the paranormal, or anything of interest from around the world. Dark Plains Radio doesn't just stop at that. We provide our listeners with the complete internet experience. Dark Plains Radio is now mobile. You can hear all of our great shows on Nokia Internet Radio and Moodio. Check them out. We're on your cell phone. You'll be glad you did. Listen to Dark Plains Radio Network on DarkPlainsRadio.com and take us with you on Nokia Internet Radio or Moodio. Don't forget and keep listening to your favorite programming as Dark Plains Radio continues to grow.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Dark Plains Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Sorry, Joel, I had to do this.
No, that's all right.
No song in this break, but I had to play the Spooks R Us polka because we're invading Dark Plains tonight. So, sorry. Had to play a polka. Everybody get up and dance.
It's an assault, but not a supernatural one.
grab a beer in the broad, everybody.
All right. The Beer Brand Mocha, man. It's one of the best songs out of Wisconsin here. So, sorry, man. I had to play it.
I'm loving it.
Me too, man. Yeah. Get up and dead. All right, there we go. All right. Sorry, man.
Don't worry about it. No apologies. That's great.
I had to assault your show. Sorry.
Everyone loves a little polka every now and again.
Exactly. Especially the paranormal polka.
Well, there you go. See, then you need to compose that.
Yeah, I know. We'll come up with it. Maybe I'll talk to the guy who does all their polkas for our show and see if he can come up with their own.
Take the Ghostbusters theme and do it polka style.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome. That would kick butt. But getting right back to it, guys, we touched on the movie a little bit, but why don't you tell us about your backgrounds in filmmaking?
Well, this is Andrew here speaking, and my background in filmmaking is really on the interview side. I spent several years in Europe and speak several languages, and all of that sort of communicative side translates into the creative interview process where we try to draw people out and find out what really happened to them. All of the people in our film, in our documentary film, are speaking about sleep paralysis for the first time in any detail, and most of them for the first time ever talking about it in public. And they were very sincere and forthcoming, and we were able to get that on film. I had wanted to make movies for since I was a teenager, and it wasn't until I met Paul that we decided to team up and make movies together. And we have six movies in the works, one in the edit process, getting ready to come out in early summer, and a television reality show, which we're pretty excited to get on the networks sometime next fall. And we have a chance to get it there, and it's pretty exciting. We've got writers and got quite a team, really, in the SoulSmack production. The SoulSmack production team has a whole bunch of people together, coming together to put this into action, including our team, which you'll be able to see down the road.
That's awesome, guys.
Yeah, and we're going to start posting some team member bios up soon, so that, you know, you'll start to see a lot more of who's involved with the SoulSmack project. And, you know, a bit about my history. I actually started filmmaking when I was about 11 years old. We made some kung fu films, like everyone does, you know, based on the Jackie Chan movies that we used to watch growing up, Snake in the Monkey Shadow and all that. It got us into filmmaking, and then I just went on from there, just as an interest. It wasn't something I was doing seriously. I was too young, for one, and it was just fun. And then when I was in my 20s, I was into music. And one thing led to another. Then I ended up showing an interest again in film. And I, you know, with the new technology that was coming out, you didn't need 10 guys to carry the camera and the VCR and, you know, the battery pack, which used to be the size of a small bag. But we were able to use the technology, or I was able to use the technology that was out to you know, go out and start making films again. And I worked with a few people back in England, produced a couple of pilot shows for TV. They were more in the comedy skit side of film. And then I went on to do, I done a lot of corporate video work for quite a few companies, and I've been doing that for a long time. So that's where my background in film and video production. And then I moved to the United States in 2006, and I had met up with Andrew, and we had spoken briefly, but never really, you know, got into the filmmaking side of things until I was packing up my shop, which was located next to where Andrew lived. And we started speaking about film the day I was leaving the shop. I would probably never have seen Andrew again. But he gave me his business card, I gave him mine, and here we are today.
Cool. So, kind of like Harry met Sally kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but
so which one is Sally?
He's not as cute as Sally.
No orgasm at the table.
I just want to know which one's Sally.
Oh, man, you know what? I tell you what. We have our own TV show, me, Scotty, Wayne, and Brian, of course. And Kyle B. out there. He's in the television show. It's Ontology TV. And when you guys talk about editing, yeah. Oh, I hate editing. That is by far the hardest job.
You'll have to get us on your TV show one day.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to do a little crossover. We're going to be filming another episode right down in near Madison, Wisconsin, on the, 22nd, guys? Or is it 23rd we're going to be filming that?
23rd we're filming. 22nd we're going to be at the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we don't get out of bed for less than 50 grand a day. So.
Yeah, I'll be in my trailer or the bar. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's pretty interesting, you know, and the way that me and Andrew connected, and that we also had, you know, this sleep paralysis experience in common. So when we started to discuss what we could possibly make a film about, I don't even remember how the subject came up, but we found out that this would be a great one to start with. So we had spent some time between, you know, our everyday lives and getting together on weekends and stuff, hatching out some ideas, and this is the result. Your worst nightmare, supernatural assault. And we've got a whole bag or an arsenal of movies to go. So we're going to be around for a long time, and your listeners are going to have a lot of exciting viewing with Soul Smack down the road.
Hey, that's cool. And we'll keep promoting the heck out of you, too, to help you guys
Thank
out.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just have to come. I don't mean to digress at all, but I gotta ask where you came up with that name, Soul Smack. I mean, because it's cool. I mean, it's a cool name.
We're cool guys.
Yeah, we're cool guys.
It's so humble.
Pieces of genius, yeah, that happened to come our way.
Yeah. Now it's kind of like, you know, Soul Smack is about. We look into the supernatural, the paranormal. We're even going to look into, you know, the occult and some of the other sides of life, like, you know, the conspiracy side. We're going to be looking into a lot of the stuff that is taboo, unknown, supernatural. And, you know, it's thought-provoking, entertaining, and enlightening. And we aim to, if we can, you know, bring people's soul or their level of, you know, consciousness up to a place where ideas where they may not have contemplated before or even thought about, after watching one of the shows that we do, we're hoping that we can strike them, you know, or cause them to stop and think about things in a different way rather than just ignoring everything around them. I mean, we hope to. So that's the soul part of it. And the smack is like, it's like in your face. It's almost like, you know, you've just been soul smacked. It's like, wake up and look at the world around you and the universe around you. There's a lot more to it than you've been told there is in school.
And everything is in a name. We named our show Ontology TV. Ontology is actually a Greek word. It means a study of what is, whether it be Bigfoot, UFOs, the whole gamut, much like what you guys are doing. But everybody turns around, they say Oncology TV.
Right. Like,
No, we're not looking to cancer, but Ontology TV. And so, yeah. Absolutely, I think your name is wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, it's catchy and you remember it.
Yeah, that's what we hope. We hope people... You know, it's easy for people to remember, and it, like you said, it is catchy.
Monday, Soul Smack.
It sounds like a pro wrestler's name.
Hey, we'll have to record that, and we can use it on our talk shows or there wherever.
Monday, you'll pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Soul Smack with the voice of Joel Sturgis.
There you go. But you know, the more and more I look at this, I have to wonder, getting back into the subject at hand, does it seem like this more afflicts people while they're in the REM sleep?
Well, that's an interesting question.
It affects them when they're awake. You know, they're completely awake, and it only happens when people's sleep rhythms have, it appears to only happen when people's sleep rhythms and sleep patterns have been completely disrupted.
Now, what I tend to look at all sides of this, and there's a part of this that really interests me, and it's this altered state of consciousness. So when we go to sleep, as we know, when we're in a waked, you know, when we're in a wake state and we're walking around or doing our job, we're in a certain vibrational frequency as far as the brain is concerned. But when we go into sleep or a meditative state, which you're kind of in when you're sleeping, your brain is vibrating at a different frequency. So you're in an altered state of consciousness, and this is where interesting stuff starts happening to people when they're in this state. So they wake up and they open their eyes, and you know, they may perceive something that they may not have perceived in a normal, you know, awake state of vibrational frequency. So it's possible that this is, it could be connected with the REM sleep, because when you're in that state, anything can happen. And a lot of shamans actually use sleep paralysis. They actually know how to induce it, and they use it as a gateway to an out-of-body experience. And this is very common. If sleep paralysis goes on for more than 15, 20 seconds, it often can turn into an OBE, an out-of-body experience. And these shamans know this, and they've been using it for a long time to reach those levels of existence. So I hope that kind of answers the question you were asking.
Yeah, it's important not to confuse these assaults or these apparent assaults with REM sleep in terms of REM rebound. As many of you probably know, if your body needs to have REM sleep, and if you disrupt your sleep patterns in such a way that prevents you from getting REM sleep, your body will get it anyway. So say you haven't slept long enough for a number of days in order to actually get REM sleep, you will have a REM experience while you're awake. You will actually perceive things that should really be staying in your dreams, but you'll be awake. And, you know, REM rebound. But that's a different thing than these attacks that happen in sleep paralysis.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I was just wondering if that answer the question why Woody Harrelson attacked a person thinking that they were a zombie.
I don't know.
That was him. I haven't talked to Woody about that, really.
I haven't heard about that one.
Oh, yeah.
Fill me in on that.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, he was just on the flight back from doing a movie about zombies, and he was in the airport, and he attacked one of the, it was a paparazzi or a cameraman, because he thought he was a zombie, and that's what he gave the thing back. He said that he was still in character when he came off the plane, and he just thought he was a zombie, so he attacked him.
Well, you know, it depends on if he was for real when he made that statement. You know how actors are; they fly all over the place, they work long hours, and then, obviously, like Andrew said, a REM rebound can be as real as a dream. You're in a awake state, and all of a sudden these images or these apparitions or zombies will appear in front of you, and they will look as real as real can be. But it's just a phenomenon that's well understood, and it can be frightening. So who knows, if he saw a zombie in front of him, I can't say if he was for real when he said that. But
and go Woody, next time you see a zombie, I really think you ought to take it out.
Yes, well, zombies are the scourge of the world.
My theory was that you know, he needs to give up being a vegetarian and get some more protein in his body.
Yeah.
So I think that actually messes with somebody's chemical balance in the brain.
Yeah, and you know, you got to keep your body chemistry in a nice balance. You overload it with one, say if you turn your body too acidic, you open yourselves up to cancers and all sorts of strange phenomena, brain problems, you know. So people should take care of themselves, eat properly, and make sure you take the right vitamin pills.
One of the reasons why we made the movie Your Worst Nightmare was because of a particular problem in the psychiatric world that we are trying to resolve, actually. So we have all of these sincere people speaking from the bottom of their hearts about this terribly frightening experience that happened to them. And we have researchers in the movie who do their best to explain what's happening. One of them believes that it's very possibly a real supernatural experience. Another one is quite a bit more clinical and believes, you know, you need to have therapy and maybe some sleep enhancing drugs to help you get through things. But we're trying to prevent psychiatrists from continuing to misdiagnose this as a psychotic incident. Basically, in Western culture, if you have an experience of sleep paralysis with supernatural assault, and you go to your psychiatrist and tell him or her that you had this experience, at some point the psychiatrist is going to say, "Were you awake?" And if you say, "Yes, I was awake, this was real, it really happened," you will be very likely to be diagnosed. More than 50% of the time you'll be diagnosed as having had a psychotic experience. But you didn't. Excuse me. It's not a psychotic experience. It's a very normal human experience, and people need to talk about it without being afraid that they're going to be called crazy or misdiagnosed.
And just a word of advice to anyone out there who is suffering from sleep paralysis or may suffer from sleep paralysis, and you do want medical advice, you do want to go and see a clinician, you do want to go and see a psychiatrist, I suggest you call them up ahead of time and speak to them and ask them, have they ever dealt with anybody who's had sleep paralysis? And if they say no, ask them, have they heard of sleep paralysis? And if they say no, then I suggest you keep calling until you find one who has, or make inquiries on the web, or ask them, are they willing to do some research on it before they see you in their clinic? So, you know, you don't want to end up being one of those ones that gets misdiagnosed because nobody's heard, or the clinician or psychiatrist you see has never heard of sleep paralysis.
But you're not recommending people not try and seek treatment?
No, I'm saying do seek treatment, but make sure that with the, it's like, you know, shop around. I mean, when you go to buy anything in this world, or you go to get anything, a service, you shop around for the best quality service. So I would suggest anyone who has this, don't just go to anybody just because they're there. Call them ahead of time and ask questions. Ask them, have you dealt with this? Ask them, do you know what it is? And if they say no, ask them, are they willing to find out more about it before they see you? I think everybody who has this, who does want help, should definitely get it. And there are some really good clinicians and psychiatrists out there who do know what this is, and they will help you.
Yeah, it's entirely a personal choice how you want to deal with any psychological issue. We don't have any advice, you know, medically to give, but we would like to let people know that there are psychologists out there and psychiatrists out there who can do a really good job with sleep paralysis, and they won't assume that there's something wrong with you because you're having this experience. And that's pretty important. We had some feedback from many psychiatrists at one point, a group of 200, and the messages we got from our research in the film, for the film, was that they were very thankful to learn that sleep paralysis was something that actually happens to people.
Now,
so we're spreading the word out there, and once people realize, then they can't take it back. It's no longer a secret.
Right, but have you noticed that with sleep paralysis, is there any other sleep disorders that go with it, or is that the only thing that happens to a person? I mean, do you find that a person with that also has sleep apnea or some other sleep disorder with it?
Yeah, I mean they don't coincide.
Okay.
I mean they're not related to each other, but they can happen. They can happen to cause each to be worse. For example, take sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is famous for making people overtired, right?
Right.
Making people want to fall asleep during the daytime. So that boundary between the world of sleep and the world of being awake gets very unclear. And, you know, if you take a nap in the morning, you're vulnerable to having this happen to you.
Well, what was the first recorded account of this happening?
Oh, in the Greeks,
Greeks.
The Roman time under Alexander. It's all through literature.
And if you anyone searches, just do a Google search. Type in sleep paralysis and press image search on Google, and what will come up is that picture that I don't know if you've seen it. That famous picture by Henry Fuseli. And it's of like a lady laying on her back on the bed, and she's in a white flowing gown, and there's this horrible looking troll or demon sitting on her chest, and it's staring at you who's the viewer, and in the background there's a horse, like a black horse that represents the mare, the nightmare, and then that image has been. It's been around since 1781. I mean, that's going back a long ways. But sleep paralysis has been around forever. And there are some parts of sleep paralysis that we're going to talk about soon. The shadow men, the shadow beings, they've also been in our history.
Now, I've seen a few shadow people head on, not tired or sleepy.
Yeah, I've seen a shadow person myself, a shadow being myself, and they're pretty amazing. You know, the numbers of these reported sightings of shadow beings are increasing to epidemic levels. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we have some theories on these shadow beings and why they're seeing shadows. And maybe we can explain a bit of what they could be. You know, these are just theories. They're not anything that we've managed to prove or, you know, but it's something that needs to be looked at. And these shadow beings, if you look back in history, in Islamic culture, they talk about the jinn. And these race of shadow beings have been with us, coexisting in our world with us, but we just can't see them. So if, you know, you ask, why do people see shadow beings? And they all describe them near enough the same way. Even the one I saw, it was like a silhouette. It was almost as if someone had cut a silhouette of a humanoid out and put it in front of you. Now, you could see it there, and it was moving, and it moves very animalistic, almost like it was crouching and prowling like a cat. But when you look at everything around us that exists, we know that everything is a vibration. Everything in the universe is a vibration, even light, sound, you know, every subatomic particle vibrates at frequency. And there's something called the electromagnetic spectrum that encompasses, you know, radio waves right through to gamma waves.
Mm-hmm.
And slap bang in the middle is the visible light spectrum that we can see. That's what we perceive with our eyes. So if something existed or coexisted in this dimension with us that, you know, it inhabit or it lived on another light frequency from us and it stood in front of us, it wouldn't be invisible like you would think a ghost would be invisible. It would actually block the light that we could perceive and reflect light at us that we couldn't. So what it would appear like would be a jet black silhouetted shadow. Mm. And that's commonly what people have reported for thousands of years across the world.
Well, Wayne and I have seen one just this last summer. We saw a shadow that blocked out the lights in a forest that we were investigating up by a cemetery. And there was seven of eight of us saw the same shadow.
At the same time?
Yes, at the same time. Yep.
Well, there you go. That exactly, you know, that clarifies what people are seeing. I mean, if you all saw that at the same time, and when I saw my one, it was seen at the same time by a woman who was in the group we were with. So I knew that it wasn't just my hallucination or my experience. It was something that was shared. And we could correlate what we saw, and it was exactly the same. So you guys all seeing that, just, you know, it's great because it actually for you all to have seen it, you all know that these really exist. It's hard to tell people.
True, it is. What the neat part of it was is I saw it first, and I said, everyone, turn around. That's all I said. I said, everybody, turn around. And everyone turned around and all related the same story back of what they saw.
Wow.
We were just with the paranormal investigation team, and they were filming in a cemetery, and they saw a shadow being. It came right down out of the sky and landed. They had heard that this was a hot spot for such things, and they went out there and filmed, and they saw it. It landed on the ground like a being, like a something physical, but it was just a shadow. Mm-hmm. And it made disappeared.
Yeah. Now, for you guys, is this a very quick encounter, or is it something you can look at for minutes?
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the shadow people.
You can see them for periods of time.
Well, the one that I actually saw myself, I saw it for, I would say, 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. It stood there in front. It was like it couldn't even see us. That's the strange thing. We were in a place in England called the Chislehurst Caves. And I was at the back of a group. We were on a tour down there. And something said to me, turn around, you know, in my mind. I had a feeling to turn around. And when I did, I saw what looked like a cigarette ember glowing in the dark. And then two more appeared in a triangular shape. And then this triangular shape of glowing ember started to rotate and anti-clockwise. And I tapped a lady that was standing next to me on the shoulder, and I said, what's that? So she turned around. We're both watching this. And then it stopped dead, as if someone had just stopped it, and it opened up. So the triangle opened up in size, and out from the center of the triangle jumped this small, it was almost like a size of a 12-year-old boy, and it kind of had very slender body. It jumped out, jet black shadow, jumped out of the middle of this triangle and was looking around. He couldn't see us. And the lady, we were watching it, and then she screamed at the top of her voice, and it looked right at us and then ran straight through the solid cave wall. And I ran down there. I wasn't scared at the time. I ran down there because I thought it was some sort of a trick. I was looking around for projectors, for all sorts of things. I examined the whole place. There was nothing there. And we actually did fill out a report on that in the Chislehurst Caves. So that's what happened then. It was like, I'd say 15 seconds or so.
For those of you who are thinking, wow, that this couldn't be real, this is impossible. These caves where Paul saw this has an entire collection of similar sightings over the years.
Now, do you feel that shadow people are nothing more than maybe a ghost that lacks the energy to go full form?
Well, there could be a number of things, and you know, ghosts is just one of the things that people do say that they could be. But other, you know, what if they are a race of beings that are real? What if they are a race of beings that do coexist with us in this dimension? The other theories that I've heard are, what if they're, you know, when people go OBE, out of body, and they travel, and what if that's what that could be? When you encounter one of these beings in your room, what if it's an actual living person, but they're just in another form, you know, another vibrational form, so they appear to you as a black shadow because you can't perceive that frequency, as far as you can't see them in full form, and they'll just block out the light that you can see. I don't know. There's so many ifs or could-bes. It's just interesting to try and find out, you know, what these are. I would love to get to the bottom of what exactly these shadow beings are.
Wayne, go ahead.
Just, Wayne, how long do you think it was that we saw that? Because we saw it for a little bit.
It was at least a minute.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
Yeah, down the tree line, and it did block out the light that was behind it.
Yeah, see, it's all these things that you say just makes so much sense. And did any of you capture it on film or on photograph?
Nope, none of us did, and we even had motion sensors out there by it, and we didn't see anything go off.
So yeah, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an animal, because that would have made the motion sensors go off.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Those are pretty sensitive, the ones we have.
I was dating someone in college, at Colby College in Maine, and the two of us woke up in the night. We didn't know that we were awake until after this experience happened, but I was awake, and I had this strange sensation that something was outside the window, but I didn't hear it. There was no noise at all, but something seemed to be walking and lurking outside the window, and so I thought, I'm crazy. I went back to sleep. But in the morning, the two of us talked, and she had the same sensation, the same sense that something had come down the sidewalk exactly in the way I described it and gone past the window. You know, you start comparing notes like that, and you just have to say, well, what was that? And then you hear people, such as the people in our film, saying that something opened the door of their room. They heard the door open, they looked and saw the door open, which is a very common part of a supernatural assault. You know, they're wide awake, they see the door open, they hear footsteps sliding across the floor, they're scared to death, their heart's pounding, they're sweating, and they're thinking they must be crazy, but they're scared to death, and then the bed sinks down as this thing crawls up on the bed. Well, every once in a while when this is happening, they can see a creature. Over and over and over, you get the same story. It doesn't matter if you're in the United States or in China. You hear the same story. Now, they may have a religious interpretation, or they may have some cultural interpretation, but when you take away the cultural part, what happened was something came into the room, they heard it slip across the floor, it came up on the bed, and they felt the bed sink down, and it crawled up and sat on their chest and made it almost impossible for them to breathe. Sometimes it looks like a dark cloud. Sometimes it actually looks like a creature sitting on them, as if it's saying, "Yeah, I'm tougher than you, and I'm just going to scare you for a while and go away." Same story over and over and over. Thousands of them.
Is it always an evil entity? Is it ever maybe something not like warm and fuzzy, for lack of a better word?
Sleep paralysis and the supernatural assault is not a warm and fuzzy feeling. It's terrifying. People think that they're going to die every time it happens. It never gets better. It's always just as scary. And when you finally succeed in moving, whether it's just your little finger or you sit up in bed, and you scream out to your God, and it stops, then you're sweating and your heart's pounding, but it's over. Mm-hmm. Just like that. It just zips out of the room. It's gone.
We have a caller that just popped on. She would love... this is Laura, right? Laura?
Hi.
There she is. I knew it was you. You have
how
a question?
Are you guys?
Oh, good. How are
yes,
you doing?
I'm doing great. I have
good.
Two questions, actually. My question to the guys.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm doing awesome. Are you members of the IPAA?
My
audience Joel will tell you because they're nominees. Anyway, my two questions. My first question is an experience. When I was a child, I laid in bed, and I think I was very, very sick. Now, it could be that I was sick, that I was hallucinating. But the only one time in my entire life that I ever experienced a sleep paralysis, per se, that I woke up and literally could not move. And I remember seeing my mother in the hallway, holding my infant baby brother, walking him back and forth as he was crying. And I remember trying to scream at the top of my lungs, and I couldn't scream because there was an entity at the end of my bed. And I can describe him in detail to this day, what he looked like, and I can tell you verbatim what he said. And that was the only time that he came to me.
Can you describe it?
Time that I physically could not move.
Laura, tell us what you saw.
What I saw was a man at the end of my bed. Being an adult now, I could say he was about 5'11", 6 foot tall. He had a mustache. He had a goatee. He had, you know, dark hair. He had a period-style shirt and pants. I didn't see beyond his knees because it was behind the foot of my bed. And he pointed his finger at me, and he said, "Don't forget the things that you have to do in this life. Don't forget what you have to do. It's very important." I mean, it was like, you know, almost like a semi-reminding me, but scolding me. But I was only 6 years old, so I was fairly new on Earth, and I didn't understand what he meant, and I was petrified. But when he laughed this awful laugh, and he left in a flame. And then as soon as he was gone, I was able to scream. My mother came running in, and because I was already gifted then, my mother, you know, calmed me down and gave me Vicks and all that good stuff, you know, how they calm kids down.
Yeah.
And then the next day, at the foot of my bed, I said to my mother, "Mama, he left a mark on the floor." And on the wooden floor in a little old house in Louisiana, that entity left a burnt mark on our floor at the foot of my bed. And my mother discreetly just put a rug over it and told me not to worry.
Well, it seems like that entity that visited you had a message for you. And
He visited me 3 or 4 times after that.
Yeah, he didn't want
he
you to forget.
He would scare me, and every time he did, I'd run. Run from it, literally. He popped up outside my window when I was a child, my bedroom window, like a stranger popping up your window. He put his head up to the window and goes, because the window was open, he goes, "Remember, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You remember you're supposed to do these things. Don't forget what you're supposed to do." And I'm thinking, what the heck am I supposed to do? I'm just a kid.
When was the last time you saw this guy?
That was the only time, was that year. But it was so emblazed in my memory that they weren't going to let me forget.
What do you do for a living?
I'm the director of the International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards.
Well, maybe this is what you're supposed to do. Who knows,
honor
you know?
Everybody like you, what you do.
Thank you.
So if you would, go to, and I'm sorry for the plug, guys, but your nominees, and they're awesome guys with the station. Go to www.ipaawards.org.
Wow, thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, we'll check that out. But
check that out. But this is what they said to me. Now, another question I have. Years ago, my former partner, I was asleep in bed, and suddenly he woke up. He was traumatized. He was shook up. And when I woke up, he said, "Well, how did you get at the end of the bed?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "Laura, I woke up and you were at the foot of the bed looking at me, but your body was laying next to me. And I called your name and you looked at me, and then suddenly you were gone and you took a deep breath and you woke up."
Yeah.
Laura, that's the first experience has some real aspects to it that are common to sleep paralysis, but
what is that?
Well, you were afraid, right?
Well, I was only 6 years old. I was petrified.
Right, but
a stranger.
Were you afraid before you saw the man?
No. I was laying in bed, and I remember very distinctly the hall light was on because my bedroom door was full open. And my mother just had my baby brother, and he was an infant, and she was walking him up and down the little hallway, patting him on the back. That's what I remember. And then suddenly I remember hearing a noise, like a tremendous whoosh.
Yeah, that's
that kind of noise.
I can tell you, that's reported when anyone goes into OB or an out-of-body experience, they often hear a buzzing sound, a whooshing sound, a rushing sound. And it seems to me that you, from what you told me from story number two, this is what could be happening to you as well. You could be having classic out-of-body experiences. And what's happening is you woke up in this state as a six-year-old child, paralyzed. Right. And often when people have OBEs and wake up, I've had it myself, you're paralyzed, you can't move. And you get this tremendous sense of floating above your bed. Now, you told us that your boyfriend woke up and saw you at the end of the bed. I'm telling you now, it sounds like exactly what you're having is out-of-body experiences. And if it ever happens again, try and write down immediately when you woke up the dream you had or what you saw, and see if you can start to make any...
Oh, I have some very vivid ones. I remember them clearly, yes. And I'm a psychic. I was born this way. Yeah. And I've developed them through the years, and I used to have my own practice. But now that I'm in Mexico, I don't practice, and so I've developed my abilities in other directions, which is toward all of you guys. That's what I'm here for.
Well, thanks
I know
Laura,
this is what I'm supposed to do.
Great question and all. Like, you know what? That's a great story you had, too. I mean, wow.
Thank you so much.
Oh, not
thank you, Laura.
Thank
great
you.
Show, guys. Great show.
It's done.
We'll go to your website, Laura.
Oh, man. What a story. I mean, you know, and it seems to be, what is the one, if there is one, because I know there's many accounts of this happening to people over and over, and they have varying stories, but the common thread apparently is the chest, right? They sit on your chest.
The pressure on the chest is very common, and, you know, the obviously the paralyzed state is
classic.
It's classic, but the pressure on the chest is unbelievable. And I had it when I had it, I was face down. I always sleep face down, and more commonly you will have sleep paralysis happen to you when you sleep on your back. And we'll touch on ways to prevent this from happening to you later on in the show. But you know, the pressure is definitely one of those very common things. And when it happens to you, it feels like a crushing weight. It's not just like someone leans on you. It's almost like you're steamrolled.
Well, has anybody captured one of these attacks on film?
Oh, that's a great, you know, that's a great point. They've been captured on film over and over and over. There's nothing to see. The only person that see, well, except for every once in a while when, for example, like Laura's story, someone who's very close to that person will see something happening. Heather in our film tells a great story she didn't get this into the film. She came back and talked to us later. Her film story is pretty interesting, but we told her that sometimes, according to the psychics that we spoke with, sometimes you can actually, when you're going to sleep, you can actually say to whatever the cause of the assault is, you can say, hey, you know, you guys are really scaring me. Could you tone it down? If you got some message for me, that'd be great. Let me know it. I just want you to know it's really scary to me. So try not. And when she went to sleep that particular night with her boyfriend, instead of having this dark, evil presence come to her, she had a very bright, white, and friendly experience, and her boyfriend saw it. So this is the kind of thing that people see. But as far as the filming goes, we went right into the sleep labs and talked to the technicians who try to help people who have all kinds of sleep disorders, and they're very familiar with sleep paralysis and supernatural assault because. Over and over, they have people. It's not super common, but it happens. It happens regularly. They have people jump up and say, "Ah, my gosh, I'm being attacked! Did you see that? Did you see that?" Well, sometimes they sleep through their attack, but in both situations, whether they're awake and you can tell that they're awake, or they are paralyzed and they never seem to wake up, or they never get out of it and just go back into sleep. The sleep study specialist can tell what's happening in your brain. And it's the same overactive, incredibly energetic brain waves, but that's all you get. So until you jump out of bed and say, I was just attacked by something, the sleep technicians have no idea what happens. They don't know if you're having a nightmare or if you're wide awake and you're paralyzed. So there's a lot of room for study. And somehow we have to get a camera in people's brains so that we can actually see what they're looking at. Because until that time, you know, basically science tends to say, this is real? You're saying that? Yeah, I'm sorry, you've got to... Yeah, that's not possible. That's the general impression.
Well, has there been a death attributed to this yet?
No, no. There was a big scare about in the Hmong people because they had a real problem. They were having a lot of youthful people right in their prime. They were dying in their sleep, right? And when you have a sleep paralysis attack, you look like you're asleep. I mean, you're paralyzed, so people can't tell if you're awake or you're asleep, except that, you know, your eyes are open. But people who had had sleep paralysis assumed that these young men who were dying in their sleep for no known reason, they assumed that they were victims of sleep paralysis and it was killing them. And that is hogwash. It's not true. You know, sleep paralysis doesn't kill you. You'd have to have a horrible heart condition already for sleep paralysis to actually cause you a problem. And we need to be very clear about that because people who have it are frightened enough and they don't need to think that they're going to die from it. Mm-hmm. It's just a horribly scary experience while it happens, and it can scare you for your entire life, but it won't kill you. There's no evidence to suggest it kill you.
So even though there's the sensation of pressure on the chest, they can still breathe pretty much normally unless they cause themselves to hyperventilate, right?
People feel suffocated. They can't breathe well while it's happening, but as soon as it's over, they're fine. They're scared, but they think they're going to die, but as soon as it's over, they're fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. Well, I mean, you would think that would have scared somebody just to death, because I've heard of that happening where people get scared to death. Hey, you know, if it's just something that sucks really bad, but you'll make it through it, there could be worse things out there.
Well, I've actually done news stories where people have been brought up on murder charges because the person died from fright, because they had a heart condition, but because of whatever, it was usually some kind of robbery or burglary, home invasion, something, and it's an elderly person usually.
Sweet dead body stories.
And so they end up dying from fear. And so these people are being brought up on murder charges.
Well, it's like you say, older people or people with heart conditions that have been terrified like you would do when you wake up paralyzed and then see a demon sitting on your chest. I mean, yeah, you're probably going to have a bad time about it. And if your heart is in a bad state, you're probably going to die. But... you know, you can die if someone jumps out and scares you and you're in that condition. So, you know, as far as killing young, healthy or normal, healthy people, I don't think it will ever happen. And I believe there's a side of sleep paralysis that we really need to look into is what the shamanic cultures do. They use this, like I said earlier, as a gateway to spiritual experiences. We should start looking into sleep paralysis and what it could actually lead to as well. So we need to look at that as well, because they know what they're talking about, and they've been doing this for a long time. And if the shamans are doing something, you better listen, because they've had thousands of years of handed down knowledge. And there's got to be a side to sleep paralysis that is more beautiful than it's been portrayed.
So even Bruce Lee apparently suffered from this disease, if we can call it a disease.
Yeah, there was a film made about Bruce Lee's life story. There's a little article on our website about that. And if you watch the movie, and there are parts of it on YouTube that you can actually see this sequence. And Bruce Lee is seen in the film as a child having these night terror attacks. And it kind of, it looks like sleep paralysis, but he's a very young child. So I'd more say they were more night terror attacks where he would see this demon coming after him. And it was like a big samurai demon warrior that was chasing him. And in the end, in the end of the movie, he did a battle with this demon. So maybe it was just Bruce Lee was fighting his demons type of story they tried to put into the film, but it was written about and documented that Bruce Lee did suffer from this type of an affliction.
Wow. I don't think I'd want to even mess with a sleeping Bruce Lee.
No, and any samurai demon that went after him would have probably been in trouble and ended up, dying from snake fist or something like that.
We have another completely different interpretation of sleep paralysis, if you'd like to hear this.
Absolutely.
We spoke with a psychic, a very sensitive person, who says, no, you're all completely misunderstanding sleep paralysis. Now, the people who have, she hasn't had the experience, so and she's interested in having it, but she says, no, there's no demon, there's no attack. It's all a misunderstanding. And I did raise the question of, she's in the film as well. I did raise the question of, why are people so scared even before they see anything attacking them, which is what happens. They feel like something's in the room with them. But in spite of all that, her argument's very convincing. She says that people are having out-of-body experiences much more commonly than we understand. And when they wake up and their body, their spirit, or their astral selves has not come back to their body yet, they have to wait for that to happen, so the body remains paralyzed. And this black figure that climbs up onto them, literally they see it from the foot of the bed climbing up and crawling under them and holding them down, making it hard to breathe. She says that all of that force is your spirit holding your body down so that you can re-enter your body without being disturbed, and that's all that is.
Wow.
She's absolutely convinced of that.
Wow, that's nuts.
It is, and that ties in with the whole astral body, the whole astral traveling. Everybody who has sleep paralysis for an extended period of time, it turns into an OBE. So what if this is what's going on? What if there's nothing at all to be afraid of? What if the shamans are right? And we are just re-entering our body and actually waking up too soon and seeing ourselves coming back?
Well, other than our poor motocross guy, has anyone successfully warded off one of these attacks?
Only through prayer.
That's a great thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. In your trailer, as well as reading other places, people have been able to stop it through prayer. Want to tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with at least 30 members of the clergy in the making of this film. And I was able to find out from different denominations, and I was able to find out that in the Christian world, at least, there was a very consistent view towards this experience, and it's all embodied in the beliefs of the Christian Church. But there, for the Christian world, and if I'm sure I'm not speaking for everybody, but I did speak to a lot of people, the idea is a little bit that it's your fault if you're having this experience, because you have not got a clear relationship to your Savior, to Jesus, or with God, and that as a result of that, you're being attacked by a demon. there's no question. I mean, just in very briefly describing the experience, the common response was, "I know exactly what that is. It's a demon, and you need to work on your relationship with the divine." And the most interesting part about this is that they also said, they also understand, yeah, of course prayer makes it stop. When you call on your God, it will protect you. Well, it's true in Buddhism, it's true in any religion. If you call on your concept of the divine, it tends to make it stop. But what was quite a disappointment was I was not able to get a member of the clergy to speak on camera to this before we went into production. And I have since been able to organize an interview, which will add to the movie at some point, because the clergy is really, they're really the experts on this because of the effectiveness of prayer in ending it. But kind of a reluctance to speak out publicly about it. And I don't know, maybe the church is trying to de-emphasize, and I understand there are many different kinds of churches, so I can't put them all in one boat, but maybe there's a tendency to sort of de-emphasize the demonic side of religious belief. But whatever the reason, there was a lot of reluctance to talk about it. And they were the clergy was the only group that was reluctant to speak on the film. You know, even people, we had one woman, which is really fascinating, we had one woman who actually had a supernatural assault that was of a sexual nature. And she was so disturbed by it that she didn't want to be seen. We had to block her out and put her in the shadows for the film. But she was willing to speak about that.
Ooh, but, I don't want to cut you off there, but how will we tackle that one after the break, huh, Scotty? We'll get into the sexual side of it next.
Ooh, that'd be sweet.
Have you got some Marvin Gaye?
I got some Barry White.
That's all. All right, guys, we'll be back right after this. Spooks Are Us is on Dark Plains Radio Show tonight, so stay tuned. We'll get back into the invasion of spooks. All right, guys, we'll be back right after this on DarkPlainsRadio.com.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The vault is open. You're listening to The Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Chris Balzano, and you're listening to The Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey around the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. For the third consecutive Haunted Headlines, Florida makes an appearance, again stepping on the wrong side of the law. According to Hernando Today, Justin Wright was seen with four others exploring Spring Hill Cemetery in Brooksville, Florida, late last Saturday by police. The men claimed to be investigating the paranormal in one of the most famously haunted sites in their town, and they might have been let off with just a warning. The trouble was, when the deputy on the scene ran their names for warrants, it was discovered Wright was a newly released and registered sex offender with a 10 p.m. curfew. Wright had been arrested and is charged now with violation of probation, a felony. Staying with the legal side of things, what began as a trip to a paranormal hotspot ended in the cracking of a case of a gang who had been robbing and terrorizing paranormal investigators for nearly 2 months. The Providence Journal reported this week a break-in at a haunted location, but there's a twist. Police arrested five men with weapons ranging from an axe to a BB gun in the famous Ladd School, long considered one of the most active abandoned schools in Rhode Island, if not all of New England. The men were there not to investigate, but to rob ghost hunters and others who choose the school as a hangout. The group was caught in the act, although they've been doing it several times since late February. Four of the suspects were arraigned on three counts of first-degree robbery and three counts of conspiracy, while another was arraigned on two counts of first-degree robbery and two counts of conspiracy. All were just recently expelled from the local chapter of the job training program, Job Corps, and had heard people like to go to the old school for the developmentally challenged because it was popular on ghost sites. And ending on an optimistic note tonight, we have the other side of the coin. Inside information from Ghost Village News has a story of another investigation done the right way. A few months ago, we reported on a group from Ohio who had petitioned and won the right to investigate Wood County Historical Center, a building which may soon be set to be demolished. The group was allowed in under the cover of secrecy to protect the integrity of the investigation and the location, but was recently written about in the Toledo Blade. According to Gene Lafferty, founder of Buckeye State Paranormal and Haunting Investigators, the group leading the fight to get in and leading the investigation, there have been rumors and stories coming out of the building, but no definitive exploration of what might actually be there. The results of the investigation have just been made public, and those interested in finding out what the group found out and in tracking their detailed records of the history of the building and the history of the haunting can visit their website at www.bsphi.com. That's all we have for this week. You can check out these stories and more at Ghost Village's news site at www.ghostvillage.com/news. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Creepy Hollow, the one-stop shop for alternative ghost hunting gear. As paranormal investigators ourselves, we understand that most are volunteers and that everything is done generally out of pocket. Because of this, we want to make the best alternative and experimental equipment available to everybody at the lowest possible price. Creepy Hollow was created by paranormal investigators for paranormal investigators. Our experimental equipment section features equipment in its early stage of development and gives you the chance to be among the first to try it out for yourselves. This equipment is always sold at special rates. Among the equipment available is the infrared strobe for just $25. Developed by Paul Bradford of Sonoran Paranormal Investigations, Inc., the IR strobe is currently being tested by over 30 paranormal teams worldwide and has also been seen on Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International as part of Barry Fitzgerald's Full Spectrum Camera rig. You can find us at www.creepyhollowgear.com. That's www.creepyhollowgear.com. Or you can email us at creepyhollowghg@gmail.com. That's creepyhollowghg@gmail.com.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Dark Plains Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
God, love the zombie ghost train, huh, guys?
Yeah, you gotta love them, zombie ghost train.
Oh, what's this I hear? What's this I hear? They're not gonna tour anymore. What's up with that?
No, they're actually thinking about breaking up, I hear. So,
oh my God, we got a petition. There gotta be a petition somewhere to stop this.
That's just pure lunacy.
I was heartbroken, and but they haven't done a live show in a year, and so they figured they'd go back to the grave permanently.
No,
I know, it tears me up.
But well, you know,
you can still hear the music horrible. Here.
It'll keep on playing here.
Dark Plains Radio, where music goes to die.
Wow, I won't even go there. Well, anyhow, this is a big last segment we have. Not only do we have the great guests tonight that we have Soul Smack, but we have the giveaway yet, don't we, Scotty?
We sure do. We have a giveaway of the DVD. You can see it down at the bottom. Ancient Code, the real story behind 2012. So we got a giveaway. So, hey, Wayne, why don't you give away? Because it's your question tonight.
Where
Spooks R Us has invaded Dark Plains Radio Show. So.
That's right. Full frontal assault, baby.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Better than being a rear admiral.
Dude, you don't... That was great, great. Just for that, more polka. I'm at the button. I can play polkas whenever I want to, so you better be careful.
All right. Normally, we take whichever number caller. Tonight, we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to go ahead and test your brain power, people. I know it's painful, but it's all for the greater good. So, here's our question. Be sure you give us a call at 218-305-4676 with the answer. First person to get the answer correct will get the DVD. So, the question is, what is the definition of somnambulance?
Oh, I know.
I know you know.
It's somnambulance.
Yes. Not some ambulance.
Oh, no, that's not it.
Somnambulance. Somnambulance.
All right.
I like those big words. Somnambulance. What's the definition, people? First person to come out, call in with the correct answer will get the DVD.
Oh, okay, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, he can't.
Yes, thank you very much. I figured you guys would know.
You can't call the some ambulance to come and get you, so.
Yes, you're going to have to call one if you let the cat out of the bag.
That's right. Got to keep it up. You're going to need some ambulance chaser.
Yeah, sweet.
I have a hint for your listeners.
Okay.
It won't give it away.
No, go ahead.
They'll kick you out of the Navy for this.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Well, there's lots of things that'll kick you out
for good reason.
Oh boy! But before we left for the break, we were getting into the sexual side of this, and I watching your trailer and reading a few other things. A lot of people talk about having sexual assaults perpetrated upon them.
Yes, they do. So turn down the lights, and here we go. We interviewed a young lady who had suffered for a long time nightly attacks by some shadow form. He used to come into the room and it would crawl on top of her and hold her arms behind her head, and then it would sexually assault her. And I mean, it was a tough interview. She broke down a few times. It really affected her and affected her relationship with her boyfriend at the time, and it really put her off men for most of her life. So the attacks were quite horrific, and they have what's called the succubus, and many of you may have heard of the succubus, which is the female entity that's supposed to come and attack young males. And then you have the incubus, which is the male energy or entity that attacks the females. So this has been reported throughout history, and you know, it's one of those things that some people have said it could be due to trauma, childhood trauma where they've been abused, but there is a side of this that just can't be ignored.
we would really like to let people know, particularly all the indie filmmakers out there, that this is an area that's ripe for some real research. Because if you ask the right questions to the right people, they will talk about something they've never, ever spoken of before. In our case, this woman did not want her boyfriend to actually know about this. In addition to the fact that for her, sexual encounter, sexual activity came with this memory of a sense of being assaulted. So, you know, her whole world around intimacy was called into question. It was really difficult for her. And there could be a complete documentary made on this and done very tastefully, and it'd probably help a lot of people. So, but on phone, that's a serious note, but it's pretty traumatic.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that won't just last with you, but it will really change who you are.
This woman completely is convinced that something is assaulting her in every way.
Yep.
She can't see it, but she's held down for real. Now, you can speculate about childhood trauma. That's where, you know, a lot of investigation could be made. And imagine how helpful it would be if you could make a correlation between some sort of abusive experience and shed light on it. Or imagine if you could cross that off the list and say, no, you know, this is something we really can't explain in any scientific way. In other words, another example of something that might really be truly supernatural.
And there was a movie made a few years back. I remember seeing it years ago. It was called The Entity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it's basically what we're talking about. A lady was living alone with her kids. She was a single mother, and you know, this creature would come nightly. She couldn't see it. It was invisible to her, but it would attack her, and her son actually witnessed it happening to her in the movie. I don't know if that really happened in real life, but at the end of the movie, they said this was all based on true facts. Now, that was years ago. I was in no position we didn't even have internet when that came out, so there was no way of clarifying that, but the movie's out there, and you can actually see what these type of attacks look like.
Wow. You know, the thing with the sexual part of it, you would think with her being attacked, or at least in her mind being attacked, there would be some physical bruises left, something for the doctor to go on.
Yeah, that's certainly a very valid question. I don't think she had bruises. But at least she didn't say she did.
Yeah, I mean, did you encounter a lot of people that were extremely, for lack of a better term, camera shy when it came to talking about these experiences?
No, I wouldn't say they were shy at first. But what we have a technique, and we build a rapport between us and the subject or the person that we're going to interview. We make them feel comfortable, and all of their shyness goes away when we start rolling tape and, you know, and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't become a problem anymore, and eventually after a few minutes the cameras tend to melt away and they don't even notice them there because they're so zoned in on the conversation.
We have a caller, by the way, Ontology TV's own Kyle Brusniak. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, man. How about you?
Good.
Did you have a question, Kyle, for the guys?
I got the answer.
Oh, you got the answer. All right. Let it fire off, man.
Hi. Somnambulance is a scientific term for sleepwalking.
Ding, ding, ding.
Kyle wins. Kyle wins.
Sweet, that means I get to watch the movie, you see, because, you know, we're right next to each other, really.
So. You guys have to share it.
So how long did it take you to Google the right answer? how long did it take you to Google the right answer?
It took a while to research it, but...
Kyle's fingers are on fire as we speak.
Congratulations, Kyle.
I had
an idea
of what it was, but I had to check it, so...
Well, thanks.
Awesome. Hey, hit me up in private chat and give me your contact info.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Kyle. Congratulations. I'll talk to you later on this week, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye.
So
hey, Kyle.
Would this be the wrong time to ask the guys how do they get the ones with the sexual connotations to come and molest me? Because that's the thing I've been wanting forever is for a ghost to molest me. So.
You have to pray hard.
Scotty wants to be groped by a ghost very badly.
Oh my god!
Don't touch me.
Listen, you don't wish for stuff like that because I've seen a documentary that was done years ago on this type of subject we're talking about, and it was a man talking about his experience, and it was the incubus that came for him. So don't wish for this.
it was funny because I was in an investigation with Scotty this last weekend, and he's like, "Dude, they're touching my nose." I said, "That's cool." He says, "No, I'd rather have them touch me lower." Yeah.
I did say that live.
Yeah. You did. It was funny. Oh,
but it could happen.
Yeah,
I wanted to get checked. You know, I wanted those little hockey player ghosts to go ahead and get physical. That's what I wanted.
Physical. No, but yeah, we were investigating the birthplace of the NHL this last weekend, where the first game ever took place and where the first teams were.
And I saw that on your webpage. It sounded very interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool place. It's just for historical value alone, it almost hit the wrecking ball. But a guy that's a really great guy named Greg Cucci, I'll give him a shout out, he saved the building from the wrecking ball. And so wow. Definitely got to give a shout out to him for saving that important piece of our heritage.
Cool.
So, you know, when you guys set out to make this film, what was the hardest part of it?
The hardest part? Well, I don't believe it was during the making of the film. That wasn't hard. Research was hard, but it was enjoyable. And I suppose the final cut, the edit was tough. I mean, we had over 62 hours of interviews, 62 hours of deciding what stays and what goes, and there was so much compelling stuff, so much good stuff that we had to cut, stuff that we hope one day will see the light of day, and we probably will end up doing it through the website, streaming the clips or some of the clips that didn't make the film, but there was so much stuff that was left out.
Or you could do like I'm going to do, put it in a director's cut.
Yeah, we could do. We'd probably need about 10 Blu-ray discs.
Oh, isn't that the problem you're editing? Because you love it all.
You do. And
you know, it's like throwing away your children. Okay.
It's like, you know, we don't want to end up with a Ben-Hur film that's like 10 hours long. But... it could be done. We have the material. So if anyone out there in Hollywood wants to see a Ben-Hur version of Sleep Paralysis.
a miniseries. It's called a miniseries these days.
Yeah. But no, that was the hardest part for us. It was deciding, you know, what to cut and what to leave in. And when people open their hearts to you like that, it's hard, you know, to take out some of what they had said and just... you know, make it so that it's palatable for the viewer to watch.
What did you just put out an open casting call somewhere? How did you end up meeting these folks?
Well, we put some word out across the web, and we actually started local with a few people that we'd put out some newspaper stuff, and you know, people started responding, and then. It was crazy, and then we went down to see Dr. Hufford in Pennsylvania, and he led us to some more people. So it was almost like a chain reaction. People were linking us to others, and before we know it, we had loads of people coming forward. So,
yeah, people really wanted to talk about it once they realized that we're trying to explain something that would actually be helpful to people. But sort of the background of the film, the backbone of the film was on the research itself that was done. David Hufford's work, The Terror That Comes in the Night, is a scientific approach to what looks, you know, very supernatural. And it was very important to be able to say, after having taken a scientific approach to this, it looks more supernatural. In other words, this sort of marriage between science and opinion made more questions get asked. A lot of people try to say that, well, we have a scientific explanation, but and it's not supernatural. And their explanation often goes like this. They say, okay, well, this is not a supernatural experience because it can't be a supernatural experience because there's no such thing as a supernatural experience. But whenever that happens, 20 other people in the conference room raise their hand and say, yeah, but you know, this happened to me and it was real. So there's a bit of complete inability to discount this. What that means is this really may be proof of a non-material being. It may be proof that there is something measurable and supernatural. Mm-hmm. That's really compelling. And so once you have this scientific basis to look at, you know, David Hufford's from Penn State University, Devin Hinton, PhD's from Harvard University. He was working with the Cambodians. Once you have this scientific background saying, hey, you know, this is happening all over the world, it's not some kind of fluke, then all you need to do is have people come up and say, yeah, and by the way, this is what really happens, and you need to talk about it. And there you have the makings of a very interesting movie.
Yep. Well, guys, boy, this show has just flown by. And, gosh, it's what we like to call shameless plug time. So tell everybody where they can get your DVDs, where they can find everything you guys are up to, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, you can go to www.soulsmack.com. You can watch the trailer there. You can buy the movie right from our website. And there are forums there. If you've had an experience or want to read about other people's experiences, you can all link up in the forums. And there's even a chat room in there. And we're trying to drive the chat room. But the forums, they're on fire now. So people are visiting and writing. And there's something that we haven't spoken about. I don't know if there's even time, but it's about prevention.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be booking you guys again for a second show because we have not touched on all the subjects at all.
No.
What I think that we should. And maybe within the next month or two, we could definitely get you guys back on.
Great. We look forward to that.
It's been great talking to you. Yeah, great host, great show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just want to also extend our condolences to the family of Hans Holzer. We lost a true trailblazer in the paranormal field this last weekend. And I just want to throw that out there and tell him that we love him and we miss him. And Brian, you get better really quick as well. And all you people that want to email Brian and tell him to get better soon, you just do that, brian@darkplainsradio.com.
Right, and then don't forget to listen to Spooks or Us every Monday night. From 9 to midnight Eastern, 9 to midnight Eastern, right here on DarkPlainsRadio.com. Spooks or Us with Scotty and Wayne.
I knew you were going to throw that in at some point.
Yeah, I had to come because there was not going to be a time where I'm not going to get my shameless plug guys. In.
That's kind of a gimme.
Yeah, yep. It is.
Thanks a ton once again, guys, for coming on. We'll definitely book you guys for another show. I mean, it's such a deep subject that 2 hours just doesn't do it justice.
Maybe give it a few days, book us for like 48 hours. We should get it all out in that.
There you go. We could do that all at once. We'll do a marathon.
Thanks for having us. We really enjoyed this.
Hey, not a problem. Hang on the line. I want to speak to you guys a little bit. And, all right. Let's get out of here, guys.
Okay, here we go.
It's going to snow in Minnesota this weekend, you know.
It probably is. It always snows here.
It's because it's Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. I can't sing worth crap. So
isn't that where they found the Iceman? Was it the Minnesota Iceman?
All right, guys. Hey, I'm going to play out like we do at Spooks R Us. So here we go.
Fire it up, baby.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Good night.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or any member of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Spooks R Us, Madison researchers into the paranormal. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day. Or email us at spooksrus@live.com to meet all your supernatural needs.
Welcome to Mountain View Candleworks, your premier online retailer of specialty candles, fountains, soaps, oils, lotions, and much, much more. If you are interested in a special gift for someone, or just to pamper yourself, then please visit us at mountainviewcandleworks.com. We make our candles with mountain care.
It's coming. Don't miss it. The Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, and 26th, on Minnesota's historic Iron Range. You'll get to meet and investigate with some of the top paranormal investigators in the field today. The original legend tripper himself, Chad Lewis. And from the hit movies Children of the Grave and Spooked, Keith Age. And from the hit show Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, Brian Harnois. Just to name a few of the great celebrities you will meet and investigate with. And you will also investigate one of the most active places in the world, the birthplace of the modern NHL, the old recreation building in Hockey Town, USA, Eveleth, Minnesota, home of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, plus speaker events at the historic Coates Plaza in Virginia, Minnesota, and meet the official voice of the convention from Spooks R Us, Scotty and Wayne. And don't miss the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference, July 24th, 25th, 26th. Tickets are extremely limited, so go to www.darkplainsradio.com to order your tickets today. Again, the address to go to is www.darkplainsradio.com to get your tickets today.
This has been a production of the Dark Plains Radio Network.